if it's locally owned.
It's Copper Row.
Organically grown.
It's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm.
It's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm.
It's Copper Row.
It is time for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chamber. 1,000 members, 4 promises, and 1 purpose for a greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. Talking Carrboro today, and we are joined in the studio by Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Mayor, how are you?
I'm well. Happy Valentine's
Happy
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Where's your red?
don't question my sartorial choices. It's the same place my green is on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
I forgot.
That's all right.
I was wearing red on Wednesday for Red for Ed, also totally inadvertently.
Well, okay, you must not be like me. I have a lot of red in my wardrobe.
Yeah, that's true. I have some red. I've got a sweatshirt, but it's colder today than it was earlier, so I exchanged my red sweatshirt for something else, and...
All right, there
I
you
got
go.
No red. Yeah,
I'll try to remind you next year.
Okay, please do. Yeah. So a lot going on in Carrboro. Town council meeting met on Tuesday night with a lot of items on the agenda, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a meeting Tuesday. And as you say, we had an awful lot on the agenda. Let's see, where to begin? So, you know, it seemed like transportation was kind of a theme for the evening. We actually had a few items transportation related that we had to kind of postpone to another night.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the items was we got a update on the short range transit plan from Brian Litchfield from Chapel Hill Transit. And I think it was, I don't have it in front of me because he presented it and I realized I don't have a copy of it. But the gist of it that was really important was just kind of letting folks in Carrboro know just how the plan is being kind of reworked in a way to make it more efficient and to make it also ultimately be able to add on extended service, more route frequency, and as well as extension on Saturdays and Sundays. You know, he kind of talked to us about the goals of the, you know, Chapel Hill Transit and the plan, indeed, like when they kind of started out. But they wanted to improve, you know, the transit mode shift. They wanted to increase ridership. They wanted to focus on the high-frequency transit corridors, mm-hmm. you know, which, of course, you know, the north-south, you know, with the BRT. And we have some very, you know, traveled, you know, routes through Carrboro. Definitely wanted to improve weekend service. And then one of the goals I really like, enhance the convenience of living without a private vehicle. And
yes.
That's the number one concern that, you know, he says that they, you know, receive is, you know, you can't do that. It's really hard to do that if you need to get somewhere on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep, very much so. So when you're talking about the short range transit plan, what does that refer to specifically?
Yeah, well, you know, this is, I think, a moniker like we also have with the MPO, because the often... We create these short-range transit plans that maybe look 5 years into the future.
Okay. So this is in terms of time frame, not...
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah, time frame. Because, you know, really the way these are ultimately based and the way all these decisions like building roads and, you know, expanding infrastructure are based is looking at current zoning of, you know, our land use. Mm. And then you kind of multiply it out and you figure out a way where people are going to live and where they're going to work. And then you have to, you know, kind of make your routes kind of go toward those patterns. I mean, it's really... It's fascinating, you know, to kind of to get down in the details
and
of it.
And you got to anticipate trends and, yeah.
And
what
you
do affects the trends and,
right, yep. Right. And in the MPO level, we have what's called the funded plan and then the unfunded plan. So you're always kind of even looking a little further, even beyond what is your first immediate, you know, 15, 20, 30 years, maybe 40 years out. You know, and you think about some of these highway projects over the years, you know, it probably takes that long to finally get them going.
Yeah.
So.
I think you mentioned Brian Litchfield mentioning this as being a goal, and I think it's exactly the right goal and so important to be able to easily live without a private vehicle, because not only are there people who just for financial reasons or just other personal reasons they don't have access to a private vehicle, we really ought to be moving in that direction just in general for a whole host of reasons, including climate, but certainly not limited to.
Yeah, and I think some of what he talked about, you know, he kind of, you know, reminded the board of the different routes that do run through Carrboro, right? The J and the F and the CW. And I also spoke about the HS, which kind of goes out to where I live. You don't really think of that as a Carrboro route, but it does, you know, it does kind of go down Rogers Road. And it's a connection, for example, that folks up in my area can use to get to town. Mm-hmm. Susan Romaine asked a question about, you know, if or when routes could be going out Homestead Road. She lives out in Lake Hogan Farms. There was a lot of discussion about density and connection and that kind of thing. But speaking in town, especially when we talk about, you know, like our buses, in particular, you know, with our J route and our CW, you know, if people are able to familiarize themselves a little bit with the patchwork of routes, you know, you can really get around town very easily. Now, this kind of leads into another topic that you asked me about, mm-hmm. a trolley service, right?
Yes.
So one of the
also
items...
Also on the agenda, yeah.
Well, one of the items was Randy Haven O'Donnell asked the town to kind of, you know, talk about the idea of a trolley in conjunction with Chapel Hill, perhaps in conjunction with the Visitors Bureau, you know, perhaps in conjunction with Transit Partners. You know, many, many years ago, I don't remember if you were around, but I remember one weekend or one week we actually had a trial trolley in town. It was kind of cool. We all got on the trolley and rode around. You know, you see these in all the towns, right? And so part of what was made apparent through the this presentation by Brian was you can kind of do that on buses right now anyway. You can, and you can kind of, you really can kind of get, like, say, from Carbo Town Hall, maybe even all the way to University Mall. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the problem is, you know, how do people recognize that, right? You know, like, should we wrap a trolley thing around it every Friday night or something?
Right, or
is there a desire or a need?
That might
or
be a fun idea, actually.
Well, you know, that kind of occurred to me as we were talking through this, because I do like Randy's idea of the trolley. I mean, I think it's, you know, you see them in towns and it makes you want to jump on and ride it down.
Yeah,
there, you
totally.
Know? But at the same time, do we want to do that on top of maybe what we already are doing, you know? Or so maybe if we do it, then it's a way to kind of do it in a way that doesn't supplant or doesn't, you know, kind of be a stupid financial decision because it's on top of one that's going right down the road.
Right.
But anyway, that was where she was coming from with that in terms of, you know, tourism, in terms of making the city a little more fun, the towns a little more fun on Friday night, Saturday night, being able to get from town to town in a real visible way. So we asked staff to kind of, she asked that, and we just kind of asked staff to go ahead and look into that and see if there was any steam behind that.
So. I think you made the really good point, or Brian Litchfield made the point, but it's absolutely correct that when we're talking about getting around and using public transit and not having to rely on our own personal vehicles, if you're just in town, if you're in Chapel Hill or in Carrboro, or even thinking about getting back and forth between the two, that's already very doable. Saturday and Sunday, certainly less so, or not at all. But during the week, it's very easy to do that. The problem is the larger region, right? Getting from here to Durham or Chatham or Wake or the airport or things like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was actually, you know, so some of the talk we had at our MPO meeting this week centered around the increased awareness and shift toward, particularly in Durham, toward commuter rail, and whether that, you know, where that actually can become a reality. You know, now that LRT, now that, you know, the light rail is off the table, Durham is really focusing on the viability of commuter rail, which kind of ultimately, after all the studies and everything, looks like it would start in Durham and then head toward Wake County and beyond. And, you know, we're starting to hear and it's starting to really hear about the details of all the challenges of that project, which mm-hmm. at first glance, it's like, yeah, the tracks are already there. It shouldn't be a problem, you know, and actually it results in parallel tracks. Then you also run into the problem at all the intersections again. You still have, you know, problems of cost and acquisition. Anyway, so there's going to be a lot to work through, even with that, in answer to your question about getting around the triangle.
Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government, including a look back at this meeting that we're talking about from a couple of days ago, where you also talked about the capital improvement plan, right?
Yeah, we got a little update. We get this every year, a little update on where we are with our our capital improvement plan, referred to as a CIP. And really what this is a projection. It's kind of like the short range transit plan, right? It's the short range capital improvement plan. It looks out about 5 years. And it's kind of, we're planning on, you know, where we're going to put our big money items, what those are going to go toward. Like, for instance, You know, we know the 203 South Greensboro project is a big chunk of that money. And, you know, other things that we're looking at, you know, in the coming years, putting it toward different sidewalks, bike ped improvements on Estes Drive, Jones Ferry Sidewalk, Barn Street Sidewalk. In a couple years, the NC 54 side path, some wayfinding. And then we have other things that are always kind of in a rotational kind of basis. And that has to do with, you know, vehicle kind of rotation of new vehicles, but also kind of popping up in recent years on the CIP and will more so some water retrofits and stream restorations, and also kind of looking toward how we can put some money more toward renovations of our public works facility, our Century Center, and our fire station. So in conjunction with the 203 project, we also did an assessment of all of our buildings and are trying to look a few years out as to when we can do some repairs and upfits to those.
How do you prioritize?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I think with the buildings, you know, we're after getting the reports, it dovetails a little bit around any safety issues, any kind of issues where we can really immediately attack some of our climate change goals, you know, because some of those upfits are really going to help us go a long way toward that. Some of it is around timing of what we hope is a certain project, the 203 South Greensboro, because when that starts occurring, and then we'll be doing some moving around, and so it'll free up some spaces where then we can do renovations as we kind of build out and have people in new offices. So I know like our Parks and Rec offices will move into 203. That frees up the Century Center for the police to be able to spread out a little. At some point when we upgrade, you know, down at Fire Station 1, they might have to move over to Town Hall a little bit. Anyway, it's kind of like dominoes, I guess.
How relieved are you going to be on actual groundbreaking day for 203?
Right. I hope it happens in my life. I hope it happens in my lifetime now. That actually was something that we, over the last couple of weeks, we have kind of signed off on an agreement, kind of a new agreement with the county, kind of doing a reset of things. The county is not going to be able to sign off on the agreement until they don't have a meeting now until I think mid-March. And so once they sign off, then we're off and running again with our conceptual plans. Best case scenario, I think a year from this fall break ground. And, you know, by golly, yeah, I hope it happens.
townofcarborough.org for more information, talking about the town council meeting from a couple of days ago. Also on the agenda was a discussion of the park and ride at Carborough Plaza.
Yeah, we really with that, that wasn't a separate discussion. It was more integrated into the discussion about the short range transit plan. Mm-hmm. And it was more about Brian giving us an update as to their counts of how many people are using the park and ride at Carborough Plaza. And so the idea that's kind of being shifted to the Jones Ferry one in order, you know, to save the monies, I guess, of the leases at Carborough Plaza. Mm-hmm. And also this idea toward, you know, making folks aware that there are spaces at the Jones Ferry park and ride. So if you're coming from Highway 54 or if you're coming from that end of town and if you don't want to have to deal with parking on campus, you can go to that park and ride park and hop on the bus and take it into campus.
Turning to other non-town council agenda stuff, one of our biggest stories of the week, and this ran yesterday, was a piece about Daniel Eller's company coming in and taking over an apartment complex in Carborough. And he's very excited about upfitting it and turning it into a new development. You're also raising affordable housing questions because this has happened at fairly affordable apartment complexes in the past. And I know affordable housing advocates have been concerned about kind of losing that affordable housing stock with the upgrades, but these are also apartment complexes that badly need those upgrades too. So,
you know, that
thoughts about that?
Yeah, that very apartment complex you're talking about that they purchased and are upgrading. I moved in there right when it was brand new. So I was like, oh my God, is it that old? So yeah, I lived in there when I was in law school. But that's kind of, I think, the reality with some of these aging apartment complexes that we have, right? Many of us can kind of remember when this was the place where, you know, everyone stayed. And it's, I thought it was interesting in your story, he referred to it, you know, how it's, you know, family housing too, you know, and we see this when we anyone who drives along that part of 54 early in the morning or in the afternoon, there are a lot of school children. School buses are stopping on 54. So, yeah, these apartment complexes, many of them have become our affordable housing. And it's obviously they can't get into disrepair. Obviously, they serve a need for what we call workforce housing, right? Affordable, somewhat rental units as compared to some other places. But it is a bit of an issue. When I think about, you know, try to imagine what Carrboro will look like in 100 years, you know, right there along 54. I mean, at least those areas are well situated and suited for places where if you had to do a complete tear down and then kind of come straight up, I mean, they're already perfectly suited for that, you know, but I guess for the time being, many of them are still in such shape that they can be renovated.
Starting to wrap up this conversation, other things going on in town that people want to know about.
Well, want to give a little update about the murals, the Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Park murals. They are actually almost completed.
Awesome.
And we're real excited about that. And so staff is going to be talking very soon to council members about a date in the near future, hopefully within the next month and a half or so, where we can all meet out at the park and see those either unveiled or put up or something like that. Just kind of a very low-key ceremony, but it's going to be kind of fun to finally have those up and be able to see them, you know, on the side of the building.
Awesome. Townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government. Mayor Lydia Lavelle, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rand.